Chapter 11. I woke up to beams of light coming in from the cracks in the curtain, and I stretched my arms up with a yawn.
Morning,
Haewon mumbled beside me. Hey, I smiled, as the Korean snuggled into me. What time is it?
It's early,
she whispered. I glanced at the alarm clock beside the bed and saw it was only 5:30. Oh, I said, as I pulled Haewon closer and gently stroked her back. You can go back to sleep for a while if you want.
I'm not tired,
the Korean beauty said quietly. And as her head laid on my chest, she brought a hand up and started to run her fingers lightly over my abs. Oh, really? I murmured. What a coincidence. Neither am I. I looked over at Becca and Kat, and they were both fast asleep on the other side of the bed, while their two shades of blonde hair swirled together on the pillow. Then Haewon looked up to my face, and I kissed her softly as she pressed up against me. We were both naked under the sheets, and the feeling of her breasts against my ribs made my whole body heat up in about 3 seconds. This was definitely one of my favorite ways to wake up lately. The Korean beauty giggled as I rolled to face her, and I gave her tiny bites on her neck as I cupped her pert breast. She gave me a small moan as I ran a thumb over her nipple, and just the sound of her made my cock go rigid. I shifted her raven hair over her shoulder and kissed her neck some more as I enjoyed sucking on each of her supple breasts in turn. And Haewon giggled as her hands started to stroke my chest. Then her fingers traveled downward at a teasingly slow pace, and my balls tensed as her hand finally wrapped around my cock. I groaned with pleasure as the Korean started to stroke my shaft, and I let my hand roam down from her breast, past her toned stomach, and to her mound. I gently trailed my fingers over her thighs just the slightest bit, and she opened her legs further for me in an instant. Then I traced my fingers around the soft tuck of her inner leg and stroked her labia to find she was already soaking wet. "Someone's excited," I whispered with a grin, as I slowly slipped two fingers into her pussy. Haewon gasped, and she started to pump her hand a little faster up and down my cock, while I slowly fucked her with my fingers. I ran a thumb over her clit as she gently thrusted toward my hand, and her pretty face was flushed pink as she kept her eyes on mine. She looked adorable as she tried so hard not to make too much noise and wake the others, and her bright eyes were wide and innocent at this time of day. Heat rushed through my body as Haewon stroked my cock more firmly, and the sight of her writhing on my hand whenever I looked down was almost enough to send me over the edge. Then I rubbed her clit in faster motions, and she started to whimper.
I'm going to come,
Haewon whispered with her eyes wide. Come, I said, as I kept sliding my fingers in and out of her warm pussy. The moment I spoke, the Korean beauty suddenly shivered, and my hand was soaked as she came all over my fingers. Haewon gasped as quietly as she could, while her breaths kept catching in her throat, and the whole time she spasmed with pleasure, she kept her hand tight on my cock.
That felt amazing, Jason,
she whispered.
I want you to come now and fill me up with your sperm.
I think I can arrange that, I growled, and I grabbed her by the waist and rolled her warm little body on top of me. Haewon looked deep into my eyes as she straddled me, and she smiled sleepily while she hovered her wet pussy over my erection.
Well, good morning,
Kat purred beside us, and I looked over to see the other two girls stretch and open their doughish eyes.
Ooh,
Becca moaned and propped herself on her side behind Kat.
We get a show before breakfast, Kat.
The blonde Brit put her hand around the soldier's waist and pulled her closer, and Kat wiggled her butt against Becca while the two beauties smiled at me. I grinned back before I turned my attention to Haewon, and she started to rub the opening of her tight slit against my cock. Oh, fuck, I moaned.
Feel how wet you make me?
Haewon murmured.
I'm dripping.
I love it, I whispered. Let me feel more. The gorgeous Korean took my cock in her hand, and she guided it inside her as she let out an adorably soft moan. Then she started to slowly move up and down, and her pussy was so warm and tight that I felt lightheaded all at once. The sight of her pale and flawless body only made it harder to think straight, and I reached up and grabbed her breasts as she started to bounce up and down a little faster.
Fuck yeah.
Becca moaned beside me.
That's exactly how she likes it.
Enjoying the show, ladies? I asked with a grin.
Mmm.
The Brit replied.
Best way to wake up.
Cat purred as she watched. Heiwan started to whimper again as she moved up and down on my shaft, and she clutched her tousled black hair as I stroked both of her nipples under my thumbs. She looked like a sleepy goddess while she bit down hard on her plump pink lip and took me deeper into her pussy, and her hips started to writhe urgently like she couldn't get enough of my cock. You feel amazing. Oh, you're so tight and wet and soft everywhere.
I want you to fill me up, Jason. Please.
The beautiful Korean begged.
Your cock is going to make me come again, and I want you to pour your warm sperm into me. Make sure you're really deep inside her.
Becca purred.
Pump your baby batter into her womb.
There was a hint of a moan in the blonde Brit's voice when she said this, and I tore my eyes off Heiwan just long enough to see Becca's hand moving under the sheet near Kat's pussy. The pretty soldier's breasts were exposed to me while she laid on her side, snuggled up with Becca. And she had bright red cheeks as she watched my cock slide in and out of Heiwan's tight pussy.
Deeper, Jason.
Cat panted while Becca kept pleasuring her.
Oh, fuck her deep and hard and fill her up.
Oh, fuck. If you say so. Then I thrust it up so hard into Heiwan, her gasp came out as a soft shriek. Pleasure surged all over my body as I grabbed the Korean's hips and made her bounce up and down even harder on my cock. And the sight of her gorgeous face as she whimpered made me weak. I could feel my climax building as Kat started moaning beside me. And I let go of one of Heiwan's hips so I could reach over and stroke the pretty soldier's nipple. Kat's next moan caught in her throat as I pinched that taut bud, and my cock throbbed painfully in response. Then Heiwan's pussy clenched even tighter around my shaft, and I couldn't wait another second. Come with me, I ordered the Korean.
Yes, Jason.
Heiwan moaned, and she drove her hips down so my dick was buried in her quivering tunnel. I gasped as a flood of warmth rushed through my cock, and my sperm sprayed deep inside the gorgeous Korean while Kat moaned right along with us. The feeling of Heiwan's pussy tightening more and more around my dick sent white dots flashing in front of my eyes, and I moaned as my orgasm rushed through my whole body. My head felt tingly as I shuddered with pleasure, and Heiwan was trembling as she kept moving me deeper into her sopping wet pussy. And she didn't stop wiggling and tightening until she'd milked every last drop of my sperm into her womb. Then she slowly slid herself off my cock, and she collapsed along my side with a soft whimper. Huh, fuck, I gasped as the blood rushed to my head. You took my dick so deep this morning.
Oh, I needed it,
Heiwan moaned and kissed my chest.
You feel incredible when you pour your sperm that deep in me. That was fucking hot.
Kat moaned beside us, and I tilted my head in her direction. The pretty soldier was snuggled up tight in Becca's arms with my hand still on her breast. And when I gently stroked her nipple, she sent me a sultry grin. You like watching me get off? I asked.
So much.
The soldier giggled.
You both are so gorgeous. Yeah, this hotel provides the best entertainment.
Becca agreed as she nuzzled into Kat's curly hair. My entire body felt warm as Heiwan rolled her soft body along mine, and she brought herself up to kiss me while her nipples brushed against my chest. Then she smiled sweetly and climbed over me and onto the floor.
Rise and shine,
the Korean sighed, and I smirked as my cum seeped down her pale inner thighs.
I've tried so many times to wake you lot up early.
Kat snorted.
I should have known that a good fucking was the only way to do it. You'll know for next time,
Becca said, and she gave the curly-haired soldier a kiss on the cheek before she climbed out of bed. I sat up and stretched as the girls started to mingle in and out of the bathroom to get ready for the day, but it took several more minutes for my blood flow to return to normal. By the time I was up, it was my turn to take a quick shower, and then I watched Heiwan wash herself off while I brushed my teeth. It was still early as we all started to pull on our clothes, and Kat turned around while she held up some lacy panties for us all to see.
How come I always have clean clothes?
The soldier asked.
I haven't done a run to the washroom yet. They have a cleaning service here.
Becca laughed.
That's why I put our clothes in the little basket. Someone comes and picks them up and washes them.
Ugh, I hope it's not Gerald.
Kat shuddered.
I can't think of anyone I would less like to be touching my panties.
You don't want me to wear a suit and slick my hair back then? I asked with a wink.
Okay, if you did that, it would be hot as hell.
Kat said.
I think we've gathered that you are very much allowed to touch my panties.
The girls laughed as we started to pull on our shoes, and the four of us grabbed our rifles from beside the door.
These seem less fun now.
Kat sighed as I opened the door.
I think I had dreams about those alien weapons.
Let's see if Ihara's awake, I said, as Becca locked up our room. We can get down to the shop nice and early, like I promised.
I can't believe she needs bloody graphite powder.
Becca chuckled.
After seeing her ship with all those badass weapons, that's what she needs to make the craft fly.
It is strange.
Heiwan nodded.
But at least it is something we have on this planet. It would be much worse if it was some random item that she could only get on her own homeworld.
Kat knocked on the alien's door, and it opened within a few seconds. Ihara stood fully dressed in her silver uniform with her eyes bright, and she looked like she had been up for hours.
It is a good morning,
the alien said.
I was not sure how long humans needed to be in sleep for, and I worried Becca might explode if she did not sleep very long.
I might what?
The blonde Brit snorted.
You said this,
Ihara frowned.
You might explode if you did not go into the bed.
Oh! Becca burst out laughing, and I felt my ears getting hot as I recalled just exactly why Becca had said this the other night.
Yeah, that's not such a life-threatening situation as it sounds.
I see.
Ihara nodded with some confusion.
Then we go?
Yeah, we're ready to go, I smiled. Let's head over to the ship, grab some weapons, and then be on our way.
This will be good,
Ihara said, as she stepped out of her room and closed the door behind her.
I can help with defenses while you drive these small human crafts. Will I ride one of the littlest ones?
Well, I chuckled. We have two motorcycles and a jeep. You can choose which you want to go on.
I will try a go on the little ones,
Ihara said after some consideration.
Then maybe I try the bigger one when we return.
Sounds good, I said, as we turned to make our way over to the staircase. You can ride on the back of my bike on our way.
And I get to ride with my gorgeous chauffeur.
Becca grinned as she delivered a light spank to Kat's ass.
We need to get you another motorbike,
the soldier said with a playful eye roll.
You've gotten way too used to being driven around.
I loved my bike,
Becca sighed.
I'd still have it if it wasn't for that big spino bastard. I can't believe it fucked up my leg and stole my ride at the same time. Asshole.
How is your leg?
Heiwan asked.
I guess totally healed. There's a scab still,
Becca said.
But the doctor said I'll live. What about you, Ihara? How are those stitches holding up?
Leg is well,
the alien replied.
Kat did good work fixing the wound. It is healed.
Healed already?
Kat asked in surprise. Yeah, Adhara's people are way better than us at healing, I chuckled. And when I grinned over my shoulder at the alien, she was already smiling back.
Well, I'm glad I could help,
the pretty soldier replied. I wonder what the dino situation is today, I said. It's been oddly quiet around the castle since we slaughtered that herd.
They're probably planning another attack,
Becca shivered.
By this stage, they've probably got a map and a whiteboard with their strategy all laid out.
The Omati are not capable of writing,
Ihara said.
They are programmed to see the strategies in their minds alone, and the ideas will grow more complex over time.
Fuck, don't tell me that,
Becca groaned.
Yeah, can we grab breakfast before we even think about smothered dinos?
Heiwan asked, and the smell of bacon suddenly hit us. We need to get going, I said, but my stomach rumbled. Okay, we can grab some food to have on the walk to the ship. I can't remember the last time I ate bacon.
What is bacon?
Ihara asked as we reached the lobby.
Is it like peanut butter?
No,
Kat said.
It's nothing like peanut butter. It's so much better.
You're not a vegetarian, are you?
Becca asked.
Because then you might not want it.
Ihara looked confused by the question and stared expectantly at the blonde Brit.
You eat animals?
Becca tried.
Oh.
The alien nodded.
Yes, they taste good. Then you'll like it.
Becca laughed, and we made our way into the dining hall. Adhara looked unsure, but she strode alongside us and kept her head high as we joined the bustle of the early risers. I wasn't surprised to see Gerald fussing over napkins, and there were 5 tables already set up as some locals helped place chairs and plates. There was 1 table set up with silver trays of food, and it seemed that Gerald had decided to splurge on breakfast. "Special occasion?" I asked as we reached the group.
"I decided to set out a little treat."
Gerald shrugged as he placed a cloth napkin down.
"There's enough food to have the occasional splurge now. I think everyone's earned some bacon and sausages."
The dark-haired man glanced at Adhara, but he didn't say anything as he smoothed down a tablecloth before he placed cutlery down. "We're going to need gas soon," I said. "My motorcycle's running low, and I'm guessing you guys are too?"
"Yeah,"
Kat nodded.
"We'll need to find out where the nearest petrol station is."
"Do you know where we could find some around here?" I asked Gerald.
"Certainly. I can provide some for you,"
Gerald said and neatly folded a napkin. "Seriously?" I asked and raised my eyebrows.
"Of course," he said with a prim nod. "I keep a small supply of petrol in the basement. There's a station a few miles away, and I made sure to send some of the younger men over to fetch a bit when everything started to go wrong."
"What a lovely way of phrasing the apocalypse,"
Becca said.
"Can we use some, pretty please?"
Kat asked.
"We need to do a town run."
"Yes, that is fine," Gerald nodded. "I'm finished up here. I'll go and fetch it from the basement."
"Awesome," I grinned. "Thanks, man. I really appreciate it." The dark-haired man bowed his head a bit and then hurried out of the dining hall as he smoothed down his crisp white shirt.
"That saves a trip to the gas station,"
Heywan said.
"They really do have everything in this place.
Good old Gerald,"
Kat smiled as she nudged Becca.
"He's a good guy, really," I grinned. "I don't know about you guys, but I'm grabbing some bacon and toast for our walk."
"That sounds amazing,"
Kat said as we approached the food table.
"Morning,"
a middle-aged woman nodded as we passed, and she made a clear attempt to smile at Adhara.
"It is the morning,"
the alien agreed with a tense nod. I picked up 2 slices of bread and started to make a warm sandwich filled with only bacon, and Adhara watched me closely while I worked. The lilac woman carefully copied me like she was following an instruction manual she did not want to deviate from, and I noticed she even laid her bacon in an identical lattice to my own. When she realized 1 piece of bacon stuck out of my sandwich a little farther on one side, she adjusted a strip of her bacon to match, and then she nodded proudly and sent me a smile.
"Perfect,"
I chuckled, and grabbed us some napkins to hold the sandwiches without getting covered in grease. "You're really getting the hang of this earth thing."
"Yes, the food is a simple design,"
Adhara agreed.
"But it is a nice one."
The smell of the hot food was comforting, and there was soon a queue of excited people behind us as more locals arrived downstairs. The girls grabbed their food in a much less careful way than Adhara, and we stepped aside to let the next people in. I was happy to hear a few mumbled greetings as we walked past, and it seemed that most people were more interested in bacon than the alien today. As we left the dining hall, Adhara took a bite of the bacon sandwich she had made, and her face lit up as she chewed more rapidly.
"Bacon is very good,"
the lilac-skinned woman said.
"This is the best thing of earth I have seen."
I laughed as we headed for the pantry, and we stopped in the lobby where our bike stood against the wall. Mikey was crouched next to Heywan's bike with a plastic container and a small hose clutched in his hand. He got to his feet and smiled when he noticed us.
"Hey, guys," he said. "I wanted to help, so I filled up your box. Full tanks ready to go. Didn't want any dinosaur bastards catching up with you."
"You didn't need to do that," I said. "Thanks, Mikey."
"No worries," he shrugged. "You need some for the Jeep?"
"Yeah,"
Kat nodded.
"I can take it, though. Thanks."
"Sure,"
the shopkeeper said as he handed the container to the soldier.
"You can just leave this by the wall when you're done and I'll grab it."
"People here are so helpful,"
Heywan said.
"Everyone is so nice."
"We're just doing our bit," Mikey said. "You guys be safe out there."
He gave us a nod and then strode toward the dining hall as more locals filtered in.
"It really is a 5-star hotel, even during the apocalypse."
I crammed the last of my food into my mouth and savored every bite. And then I threw my napkin into a nearby trash can.
"So, we know what it is we want and where to get it," I said.
We should grab some more supplies while we're at the shop, too.
Might as well.
Kat nodded.
Anything long life can just go in the jeep. No point having it sitting in the shop rather than here.
There was quite a lot left,
Becca said as she bit into her toast.
We've still got shitloads in the castle from our last run, but we might as well take anything we can carry.
Let's just hope we go as unnoticed as possible,
Heiwan said. At least we have an extra fighter now if anything does go wrong, I pointed out. Adhara didn't seem to be listening as she finished her sandwich and licked the bacon grease from each of her lilac fingers. So I guess that's the plan, I smiled as I grabbed my bike. Down to the center of Ravenscar as quickly as we can, get what we need, and then come back.
Yep, we've got a spaceship to fix,
Kat grinned. Heiwan grabbed her motorcycle, and the two of us started to walk them into the pantry as the girls finished off their breakfasts. There was a middle-aged man beside the door instead of Owen this morning, and he looked half asleep as he leaned back in his chair with a cup of coffee.
Morning, he said. You going out somewhere?
Town run,
Kat said with a nod, as the man got up to move the freezer.
Be careful out there,
the man replied, as he pushed the large unit aside.
I heard something wander about a couple hours ago. It didn't sound big, but we all know that doesn't matter these days.
Thanks, I nodded. We'll keep an eye out. Are you here all day?
Just another half hour, the man said. Then Owen's back on shift.
Kat grabbed the door handle as I stood behind her with my motorcycle, and she pressed her ear to the door before she slowly pulled it open. The curly-haired soldier held her rifle across her chest as she stepped out onto the gravel, and she silently scanned the area in each direction.
Clear,
Kat finally said, and I pushed my bike out into the morning air. It looked like a gorgeous day in Ravenscar, and the sun was out in full force while the sky was bright blue. There was a very gentle wind, and it was warmer than it had been in days. The hillside was quiet as we made our way out of the courtyard, and it seemed that whatever Dino had been around earlier was long gone now.
I'm going to get the jeep and fill her up real quick,
Kat said.
Can you guys grab one of those awesome guns for me?
Sure, I chuckled as the soldier veered off to the right.
I'll go with you,
Becca said, and hurried after Kat.
Can't let you walk these grounds alone, soldier.
The girls quietly jogged to the clump of trees that hid the jeep, and I carried on guiding my bike downhill with Heiwan and Adhara. The spacecraft looked bigger now that the front of it had been dug out, and with the sun shining in a cloudless sky, I realized it actually sparkled under the invisible force field.
I will go in sight for weapons,
the alien said as we reached the craft.
You wait here.
With that, Adhara stepped through the force field and made her way inside the spaceship. I glanced down at the fields and road below us, and I scanned the edge of the woods carefully for any signs of movement.
Do you think they are hiding?
Heiwan asked as she looked up at the clear sky.
There might be a herd planning another attack.
I think we need to be ready for that possibility, I said. We can't get caught off guard again. At least Kat has got the locals trained up with the basics, and the defenses have been strengthened, which is good.
And we will soon have a flying UFO,
Heiwan grinned.
In Korea.
Yes, I chuckled. As strange as that all sounds.
I cannot wait for you to meet my father,
the Korean beauty said as she looked up at me. Me too, I smiled. He sounds like an interesting guy, and clearly he's got a lot to teach us.
I know you like him,
Heiwan added a little nervously. I'm sure I will, I said, and I leaned down to kiss her. The Korean's plump lips tasted like strawberry jam, and she giggled when I lightly nipped at her. Then Adhara emerged from the ship with an armful of weapons. She handed both me and Heiwan one of the razor-thin, sharp guns. A blaster was braced on one of her shoulders while two more sharp guns were propped on the other, and a fire sword hilt was clipped to her belt.
A gun for each,
she said.
I will hold the blaster and the fire sword.
Sounds good, I said as I examined the silver strap attached to my sharp gun. Like everything else Adhara owned, this alien gun strap was lightweight and comfortable to the touch. And it was made from such a thin material, but it felt squishy to the touch as if it was part memory foam. I swung it over my back so the sharp gun rested beside my SA-80, and sure enough, the strap felt cushiony on my shoulder. Once my weapons were secure, I swung a leg over my motorcycle and waited for Adhara to climb on. I knew the motorcycle wouldn't be nearly as fast or as powerful as her ship, but it was probably a new experience for her anyway, and she already looked apprehensive. The alien just stood and studied the bike, and she glanced at the space behind my back. "Sit behind me," I explained, "and put your arms around my waist so you don't fall off."
"Around your waist?"
Edhara asked with wide eyes. "I won't bite," I laughed. And the alien slowly lifted a long leg over the bike. When she sat down, she shifted my SA-80 and the sharp gun a little to the side so she could weave her arms around my midriff. Then she lightly gripped my jacket, and I noticed she kept a careful gap between the rest of her body and mine. "Hold on tight," I said, as Kat's jeep drove around the stone wall at the top of the hill. "If you fall off, it's going to hurt." Edhara tightened her grip so she clung onto my waist a tiny bit more. And I started my engine at the same time as Haywan. As soon as Kat reached us, I helped pass a couple sharp guns through the window for her and Becca. And then we rode down the hill together. I heard Edhara's sharp intake of breath as I throttled up. And a second later, her slender body was pressed firmly against my back. I tried not to think about how very human her thighs felt as they clutched against mine, but it was pretty much impossible. It felt good to have the sunshine on the back of my neck as we drove, and I started to wonder if the dinos in the area had moved on. After a few failed attempts at getting the humans in Raven Hall, maybe they had just decided to try somewhere else. Maybe even reprogrammed alien dinos could get bored. I knew it sounded like I was bullshitting myself in my head, but anything seemed possible these days.
"Look out above!"
Becca yelled from the passenger side of the jeep, and all my hopes of a dino-free town disappeared. I glanced up at the sky and saw what looked like two pterodactyls flying over the woodlands. We were almost at the road we would need to take through those trees, but if the dinos looked in our direction, we would also be close enough for them to reach us easily before we made it. We all slowed our vehicles, and I tried to be as silent as possible while my motorcycle crept to a halt. Then I cut the engine. I felt completely exposed on the large hillside, but all we could do was watch the beasts and hope they didn't catch a whiff of our scent. Haywan glanced at me with wide eyes as we waited, and a couple minutes felt like hours before the huge dinos soared over the trees and toward the direction of the center of Ravenscar.
"That was close,"
Kat muttered, as the two dinos disappeared into the distance.
"Why not just use the blaster?"
Edhara asked from behind me.
"You could have made them both dead."
"It would have also attracted attention," I said. "Even if not by sound, something would have seen it. These fuckers are everywhere."
"Do you maybe speak a little bit of dino?"
Becca asked hopefully as she leaned out of the jeep.
"Like enough to tell them to back off and that we taste gross?" "It is not something to learn,"
the alien said as we started our engines again.
"You are born with it or not. I could make noises, but they wouldn't mean anything to the Amati."
"Can you keep a lookout for me?" I hollered over my shoulder as we approached the road. "It's hard to see everything while I'm driving."
"Yes,"
Edhara said in my ear.
"I will look for the Amati."
The drive along the woodland road was tense, and the quiet countryside felt too calm for my liking. Even though I had Edhara as a lookout, I couldn't help glancing through the dense trees every now and again. As we drove along the quiet road and left the castle behind, there were a couple of distant roars that made us slow down our vehicles. Even though the town was only a 15-minute drive away, it took a bit longer as we cautiously checked for dinos. But then I heard a set of footsteps thudding over the ground, and they didn't sound very far away. "Can you see anything?" I asked.
"I do not see any, dinosaurs,"
Edhara replied, and Becca hung out of the side of the jeep as she peered up the hills.
"I can't see it,"
the blonde reported.
"But it's getting louder. Shit, I can hear something else."
"What is it?" I asked. It was hard to hear everything over the roar of my engine. Haywan's motorcycle was slightly ahead of mine in the jeep, and when the Korean turned a corner which would lead us to a row of houses along the roadside, she suddenly braked and gestured wildly for us to follow her. The Korean swerved her bike off the road and drove so that she was hidden behind the first white house that sat along the road, and I turned to follow her and pulled up beside her as Kat joined behind us.
"What's going on?"
Becca hissed, and Haywan just pointed to the road. I quietly stepped off the bike, and I gestured for Edhara to stay where she was before I crept to the edge of the house we were hiding beside. Then I quickly stuck my head out and looked onto the long stretch of road that led to the town. The woodland to our right came to an end, and it was replaced with four houses, all painted white with neat little gardens. The left of the road was still rolling fields that led out into the hills, and it would have been a beautiful street if it weren't for the herd of dinos. They were far enough down the road that they didn't seem to have heard us, and it looked like a mix of carnivores and herbivores just like the last one. I counted 8, but they were all moving, so it was hard to tell. Shit, I hissed as I pulled my head back. Another herd.
Should we go back?
Heiwan whispered.
Before they catch our scent.
Suddenly, the sound of heavy footsteps echoed over the houses, and it was clear they were on the move. We might not have time, I said. Maybe we should hide in the woodlands until they pass. We have our new weapons. It might be safer than having them chase us.
The footsteps are going away from us,
Edhara said as she cocked her head.
Not toward us.
I stopped to listen, and I couldn't make out if she was right or not. Slowly, I peeked around the wall again, and I saw that the dinos had started to make their way up the fields and away from the roadside. They were headed away from Raven Hall, and they didn't seem to be in any rush as the various species lumbered over the grassy land. She's right, I nodded, as I turned back to the group. But they're also not headed for the castle.
That's good,
Kat said.
But also worrying that they're joining forces in such a large group when they don't seem to have humans around to hunt.
Yeah, I agreed, as I climbed back onto my motorcycle. It means they're forming these big mixed herds naturally. Does that happen on your planet, Edhara?
No,
the alien replied.
The Omati usually stay with their own kind for their groups. It is unnatural for them to be mixing. But as I said, they are not meant to behave naturally here. That is not their purpose. They are meant to adapt to their mission.
Right, I sighed. Edhara didn't say anything more as she slipped her slender arms around my waist, and she shimmied closer to my back. Then I drove to the edge of the house and waited until the herd was gone from sight before I waved for the others to start driving again. We were on high alert as we continued our journey, and I glanced up at the fields to make sure the dinos weren't simply hiding behind trees and waiting for us to drive by. The rest of the drive to the center of Ravenscar was quiet, and I could feel Adhara's body constantly move behind me as she diligently checked the area from side to side. The main street of the town looked untouched, and exactly like it had been the last time we visited as we drove in. And once we reached the shop, we drove around the back of the store to hide our vehicles. We parked close to the building so they were shielded from view of any dinos that might come prowling down the main road or between the buildings. And Adhara jumped off the bike before I even turned the engine off. She peered around the side of the building to the main road while she kept her hand resting on the dark green hilt of her fire sword. But then she nodded as if to say the area was clear. Let's go in the front, I said. The DIY section is beside the counter, I think. I reached into my inside jacket pocket and pulled out the keys that Mikey had given us last time we did a shop run, and Kat snatched them from me with a wink. Then she sauntered around the front of her Jeep as she slipped the keys in the tight back pocket of her fatigues, and I took a moment to admire the way the soldier's pants clung to her perfectly toned ass. Becca soon stole my attention as she jumped down from the Jeep and started to pose with her new alien gun, and she propped one hand on her hip and tossed her hair as she held the weapon up.
I think we look good with these things,
the blonde Brit declared. I agree, I said with a nod.
I mean, not lilac skin cool,
Becca clarified.
But space cadet cool. You think my skin is cool?
Edhara asked.
Cool is human for good,
Kat explained.
Exactly,
Becca nodded.
In this case, it means very good, though.
Yeah, I think your skin is really pretty, I agreed. And the alien flashed her perfect smile at me without hesitation. The way her silver freckles danced in the sunlight actually took my breath away, and she swept her wind-blown silver hair back over her shoulder before she looked away again.
Oh, it's still so early,
Heiwan yawned as she got off her bike.
Well, you certainly used a lot of energy this morning,
Kat smirked from where she was leaning back against the fender of her Jeep.
I was exhausted just watching you two.
Yeah, Jason was certainly thorough with you,
Becca snickered. The Korean proudly flicked her raven hair as the girls giggled, and Edhara looked curiously at them. Come on, ladies, I chuckled. Let's focus up and stay sharp. We started to head around the side of the shop, but then Becca gasped as she looked across the street.
That's the house with the piano,
The blonde Brit pointed across the road.
Can we have a little concert, hey, Juan? Just a super quick one. I love it when you play.
I don't know if that's a good idea, I said, as I glanced up at the bright blue sky. Every second counts here, and those pterodactyls flew this direction.
They're not here now, though,
Kat observed.
Piano?
Edhara repeated as she twiddled her fingers together and peered over at the house. Then she whispered the new word to herself a few times, and she looked adorably focused while her green eyes searched all over the street for what Becca was talking about.
You know what that is?
Kat asked, and the alien shook her head.
It's a musical instrument. Jason and Becca have raved about Heywan's playing ability, so I'm expecting great things.
And you'll get them.
Becca winked.
She was a music student before dinosaurs ate all of her professors. Oh,
Edhara said, and her eyes lit up.
I like music. I have never heard human music.
Becca sent me a pleading expression, and she pulled Heywan close to rest her chin on her friend's shoulder and add to the pouty scene. Then the gorgeous Korean blinked her electric blue eyes a few times, and I sighed. I guess a little concert couldn't hurt, I said, and Becca jumped up and down. But we get to work right after.
Yes, sir,
Becca nodded.
Let's go, let's go.
The girls excitedly hurried over the road, and I kept a watchful eye on the street as we made our way toward the door of the house. The morning sky was still, and I couldn't hear any hint of footsteps or roars echo over the countryside surrounding the town. I kept my new sharp gun in hand as Kat turned the doorknob, and the girl stepped into the house. There was no sign of blood or anything to indicate dinos had gotten inside. The walls were the same dark red, and the fiery sunset photos hanging above the fireplace weren't even crooked.
I'm going to check upstairs,
Kat said.
Just in case there's something hiding up there that could get woken up by the music.
Good idea, I agreed, and stepped into the living room. It looks like the dinos are all sticking together now, though, so maybe there aren't any hiding in houses anymore. Kat hurried upstairs with her SA-80 poised to fire, and Becca went through to the kitchen to do a sweep of that area.
All fine here,
the blonde Brit called.
The only scary thing is a carton of milk that's growing fur inside.
Heywan glanced my way, and I gave her a nod. Then she stepped over to the piano and gently sat down on the red velvet bench in front of it. She gently stroked the keys as she waited for the girls to return, and Edhara looked around the living room with wide eyes.
This is human living,
the alien said.
It is small.
Well, this is just the living room, I said. There's more upstairs.
Living room?
Edhara asked.
Why is this living room? Do you not live in the other rooms?
We do. It's just called that because, well, it is kind of a stupid name, I guess. But this is where you socialize and hang out. Edhara said, but she looked unimpressed by the whole concept.
Upstairs is clear,
Kat said as she trotted down the stairs.
Nothing out back, either. I checked through all the windows and it seems quiet out there for now.
So, music time?
Edhara asked as she peered over Heywan's shoulder.
Wait for me,
Becca said as she rushed back into the living room and jumped onto the leather sofa.
Come sit, Edhara.
The alien looked down at the sofa with a wary expression and watched as Kat perched on an armchair. Then I took a seat in the middle of the sofa and Edhara gingerly sat on my other side as if she expected the cushions to collapse under her. Once her full weight was on the sofa, she looked relieved and shuffled herself back to watch the show. Heywan lightly pressed her fingers down on the keys as she started to play, and Edhara gasped when the music had only barely begun. As Heywan closed her eyes and played from memory, the beautiful alien leaned forward and her soft purple lips parted in awe. I wasn't sure what the piece was, but the music was so relaxing and beautiful that I started to feel tired as I sat back on the sofa. Listening to my Korean lover play made me so at peace, and the girls looked enchanted as they watched. I snuck a peek at Edhara after a few moments, and her glistening emerald eyes were fixed on the black and white keys. It had been worth coming into the house so Heywan could finally play the piano again, but seeing how excited the alien looked made it all the better. Her lilac fingers gently tapped her slender legs as she listened, and her eyes were so alert, I wondered if she was committing every note to memory. Heywan played softly and with ease like she'd been practicing every day for the last 3 weeks instead of slaying dinos, and I felt like I never wanted the music to end. The thoughts of the government and portals and alien war fleets faded as I closed my eyes, and I didn't know how much time passed as we sat there, immersed in the Koreans playing. The music gently trailed off, though, and I opened my eyes to smile at the Korean beauty as she turned on the bench and gave a quick bow of her head. "That was so beautiful," I told her.
"We really need to get that piano moved to Raven Hall,"
Becca sighed.
"That was very nice,"
Edhara said, and her eyes were still wide as she stared at the piano keys.
"The human music is good." "Thank you,"
Haewon smiled as she stood up from the velvet bench.
"I'm happy you all like listening to me play."
"What a talent,"
Kat grinned as she got to her feet.
"You really are incredible, Haewon."
I stood up as well and pulled my Korean lover over to give her a kiss, and she stood on her tiptoes and softly met my mouth.
"I like the way you say thank you,"
Haewon purred as I pulled away.
"I will play all day if I get more kisses, and whatever else you feel like offering."
"I'm holding you to that," I grinned. "Now, let's go get that graphite powder." I led the way back to the door and brought my sharp gun back around as I stepped out onto the front steps. The street was still quiet, and the air had gotten warmer as the sun rose in the sky. Ravenscar really was a beautiful little town, and at that moment, I could almost pretend there was nothing to worry about. This could have had less to do with the weather, though, and more to do with the sleek alien weapons we were toting. The five of us made our way across the street, and Kat pulled the keys for the shop out of the tight pocket of her fatigues as we stepped up to the storefront. The shop looked undisturbed through the glass, and as Kat stepped inside, I pushed the door open with my elbow and scanned the room for any hidden predators. Then I crossed the threshold first, and the store was silent. The girls followed on my cue, and Haewon shut the door behind her as we gathered near the checkout counter. "Okay," I said as I glanced around the aisles. "Looks clear. Let's find our secret ingredient for a flying spaceship." There was a stand with various DIY supplies right by the counter where Mikey said it would be, and there was a layer of dust over all of the products. Kat took a turn around the shop and checked behind the rows of shelves while the rest of us considered the tiny packets and spools in front of us. And then I found an orange packet labeled graphite powder. "Holy shit, they have it," I chuckled, and handed the packet to Edhara. "Is this what you need?" The alien scowled thoughtfully and studied the packet, and then her green eyes glistened as she smiled.
"It seems that this is correct,"
Edhara said, and slipped the orange packet into her silver pants pocket. There were five more packets on the rack, so I took them all and shoved them into my jacket pockets just in case. Then we headed further into the shop to gather more supplies, and I was trailing behind Becca and Haewon when they suddenly both stopped and turned around to face me.
"We're on a quest for girl stuff for the ladies of the castle,"
Haewon informed me.
"Yeah,"
Becca confirmed with a decided nod.
"Loads of pads, tampons, those weird wipey things that smell all fancy fresh."
I turned on my heels without having to hear any more, and the two girls giggled as I headed in the opposite direction. Edhara followed me with a confused smile on her face, and I sent her a shrug. "That's really not my department," I told the alien. "Why don't we get some more food loaded up into the jeep?"
"We should have remembered to bring some of those crates,"
Kat said as she joined me and Edhara. "There must be some more around here," I said. "There were plenty last time."
"I'll check the back,"
the pretty soldier decided. Kat headed through the staff entrance at the back of the store, and Edhara examined the food shelves beside us with a frown. "Oh, you don't want that," I said as she picked up a tin of Spam. "That's literally the grossest stuff in existence. It's just a blob of unidentified meat jelly."
"I see,"
Edhara said as she placed the tin back on the shelf.
"Not good, like bacon?"
"Not even close," I grinned. "You would not want to wake up to the smell of Spam being fried."
"Is this like bacon?"
The beautiful alien picked up a box of flour. "No," I said, and the alien frowned again. "That's an ingredient you use to make other stuff. You use it to make cakes and bread."
"Cakes. Cakes,"
Edhara nodded, and she looked so serious it was hard not to laugh.
"That should do the women of Raven Hall for a bit,"
Becca said as she and Haewon came over, and they were still stuffing lady goods into their bulging pockets.
"Maybe we should take some of the carrier bags from the checkout to hold stuff,"
Haewon snickered. "That'd be a good idea," I agreed. Kat's just checking for crates in the back, and Idhara is learning that basically nothing is as good as bacon.
A harsh lesson to learn.
Becca nodded solemnly.
I found a couple,
Kat said as she appeared through the staff door.
They're cardboard, but they'll do to keep stuff safe in the back of the Jeep.
Nice, I said as I grabbed pasta and rice from the shelf. Let's get stocked up and head back to get working on the spacecraft. We started to fill up the boxes with long life food in cans, and we added a few more bottles of wine for good measure. Then we dumped some bars of soap, toothpaste, and deodorant in just in case Gerald was running low on his hotel supplies, and I picked up the heaviest of the boxes to carry out to the Jeep. Idhara looked ready to help grab a second box to copy me, but then she suddenly spun around to face the front of the shop. You okay? I asked. Did you hear something?
Something is coming,
the alien whispered, and she walked slowly toward the door. I swiftly put the box down on the floor, grabbed my sharp gun from my back, and hurried forward to join Idhara.
What is it?
Becca hissed as the other girls followed behind me. I don't know, but if it's another herd, we should go through the back. I peered out onto the street as I reached the front windows. There's no windows through the stockroom, and the dinos might just pass right on by.
But what if it's an enormous herd?
Heiwan started to ask, but then I heard what Idhara had caught onto before us. And I knew immediately it wasn't a dinosaur that was coming our way. The distant rumble of car engines started to grow louder, and it was obvious that a whole fleet of vehicles was going to race past us on this main road. Shit! I hissed. Through the back, now! The girls didn't object, and we turned and ran toward the staff entrance as the engines grew louder. I let them all into the stockroom first, and then as I stepped into the back room, I held the door open a crack so I could just see the road outside. The rumble of the engines grew louder and louder, and it sounded like a whole army was making its way through the streets of Ravenscar.
What the fuck is going on?
Give me a minute, I murmured, and kept my eyes locked on the front windows of the shop. Then a sleek black car drove past, and it was followed by a horde of similar vehicles, along with some black, unmarked vans.